you see from this, this example, JavaScript basically plays the same role for Netscape browsers that the Java Abstract Windowing Toolkit plays for the Java asset. So what JavaScript allows you to do is to basically build windows dynamically. You will have noticed maybe that this bar at the top changes as I do things, and that's because that bar is not HTML. It's actually programmed in JavaScript and written out separately each time with the correct labels. You will find the you can't read it, but you'll find the labels at the top here change, because this label here says CPS 616 JavaScript 97, because it happens to know that that's the label of this file set, and it will change the buttons as it moves around. Alright. So let me see what. So this is meant to be simplest example, but probably these fonts are too small, is that right? Okay. So we'll actually see this in a larger font, so I'll have to change the fonts on these examples next time I do it. I don't think I'll bother that now. In this Hello World example, so this is the JavaScript here, and this is what you'll see in the JavaScript examples. And I cannot just make it bigger. This side here is the result of the of running a JavaScript here. Now this could have been produced with HTML. This is an example of how you produce it in JavaScript. And in JavaScript you basically write out the HTML, and because you're using write statements, you can produce some dynamic or parameterized HTML, because here we only write simple text, which means you could have done it with an HTML. But very soon you see how you can do real arithmetic and produce variables which allow you to write out dynamic things which change based on various decisions. So, JavaScript, if any of you are familiar with BASIC, JavaScript has features of similarity with BASIC in the following sense. It has about a billion different variables in it, because everything there every single part of the Netscape window has a name that you can access directly from the language. So it's a case where Netscape has given a name to every single feature of its frame, from the location variable, through the buttons, and through every single component that you can possibly specify in a form, or what the user can do. And you will also find that it is far harder to understand. In some senses, Nancy said it's easier than Java, but it is easier than Java because it's only working in a very small world, just a browser window. But actually in other ways it's harder than Java because it's not nearly as well documented as Java, because some of these things you have to try to understand phenomenologically by sort of trying them out and see what actually happens. It's getting a little better with the later releases, but I would say that for instance, there is a sort of object model which does not distinguish between what in Java is a class definition and a method definition. They're just defined by exactly the same syntax in JavaScript. There is only one thing, a function. That function is used to form objects and to form methods. And depending how you use it, you'll get one or the other. There are some very significant changes, actually, generally improvements in the JavaScript that came with Netscape 3. A problem with these changes is that it's called Microsoft. Namely, Microsoft Explorer does not support many of the more interesting features of JavaScript. In many ways, they're going to find it very difficult to support them, because they're specially designed to be able, so that you can do the maximally greatest job using a Netscape browser. And so it's rather unlikely that Microsoft Internet Explorer will be optimized for JavaScript. So it is, I would say, in general, like this particular program here, there's no chance of running on the Internet Explorer. It will run on a Netscape on most machines. As soon as you go past the simplest JavaScript instructions, you're going to run you'll find it unlikely it will work with Microsoft. So you can say, why the hell do you worry about this? But the reason you worry about this is that at least there's a large class of applications for which JavaScript is much faster than Java, well, much faster to develop, because you're building on the entire framework of Netscape's browser. So Netscape gives you a browser, a lot of capabilities of how the frames interact, and you can inherit all that and build sophisticated user interfaces. And although in principle you can do that in Java, that's called building the hot Java browser, which Sun tried to build, but probably couldn't put enough functionality in it to be competitive with Netscape, and so that is not actually it's not very well used product at the moment. So the rule is that if you have a self-contained project, which is just say needs a single window or a set of windows, and you need them to be exactly right, and you want to have full control, and you want to understand what you've done, then you use Java. Because I think it's going to be the Java sort of logical. I mean, there's a real language which is well explained, and apart from some bugs, it sort of makes sense. Whereas JavaScript is much less easy to get a handle on, and I do not think it's obvious that it will survive in its current form. The language, as you see, is essentially the same as Java, with some changes, because it does not have a hierarchical object model, it just has an object model. There's no inheritance at all in them. There are no children in JavaScript. The heart of JavaScript is the built-in objects which are connected with the navigator. There are also built-in objects of which the most interesting are associated with the string class. You can do more or less the same things you can do with strings in Java, with JavaScript. There are also some math and a host of date objects. Far too many things connected with dates. You can directly manipulate things called cookies, which are Netscape. Netscape, and I guess I'm not certain if they're also. I think they're also Microsoft technology for storing things on the client side, so that you know what's going on. And so JavaScript allows you to access such components of a browser. So this foil here is meant to these at two extremes. At one extreme we have HTML, and the other extreme you have C++, and in between I put JavaScript and Java. So if you like, JavaScript is a computer language born out of a document text, and Java is a document text handler born out of a computer language. And they sort of live in this spectrum from the text to the computer language in the fashion I showed there, with JavaScript nearer HTML and Java nearer C++. As I mentioned, or I mentioned these points already, essentially JavaScript is the AWT abstract rendering toolkit for the Netscape client. Possibly a deeper way of explaining JavaScript, which I think will be one of the ways it lives on, is as JavaScript is a true interpreted language, and you can think of it as a language like Perl, which is a specific interpreter designed to interpret text. In this case, a very sophisticated text than the text you have in an HTML document. So if you think about the world of computers, you have general purpose languages like Fortran, C, C++, Java, and then each sort of application often generates its own special language. And you could view JavaScript as the special language generated by HTML pages. It's all the necessary functionality for living in that world. And so there is there are special languages that have been generated for image processing, different fields of science. There's actually quite a lot of computer science research in this area called domain specific languages. Later on, JavaScript's greatest use is in the way we're using it here for manipulating frames. I mean, this particular page has six frames, and JavaScript controls the movement of information between those frames, because effectively you can think of the JavaScript lives up and associated with the master page. The master page has six frames hanging off it. These frames either display information, and this one here that decides whether or not you're going to have audio displayed. There's one here defining whether or not you are dumping, logging what goes on, and another here giving some cryptic messages. And here there's a bunch of buttons. So we have various frames optimized for particular capabilities. The status of those frames are defined by variables. Those variables are the JavaScript variables. And they live, if you like, in what's called the top document, or the header. They're actually, technically, if you think about an HTML page, JavaScript lives in the header. HTML pages have a header. Typically has a title which appears right at the top of the browser. You have a header and then a body. The way to think about JavaScript typically is it lives in the header. It's sort of the overall control information manipulating the text. As I think I mentioned before, a very important class of applications of JavaScript is that in processing forms, because forms are the dominant way that you feed in data into browsers. When forms first came out, the only way you could process forms was to have a CGI script, send the information to your CGI script and have it processed there. But what JavaScript allows you to do is to do the processing on the client side. So you saw that with Nancy's example of the pizza ordering program. For that pizza ordering applet, all the arithmetic was done client side. The only thing that was ever done on the server side, which you didn't bother to implement, was the CGI script that cooked the pizza, which she forgot to implement. But the everything else except for the cooking of the pizza is obviously best on client side. And then you finally, when you've done all the arithmetic, checked all your boxes, etc., that can then be sent to the server. And so if you compared Nancy's Java pizza order with a Pizza Hut online system from a year or so ago, the online system from before Java would have done all that arithmetic on the server. And so when you click the button to say, I wanted a large pizza, you would have to twiddle your thumbs while the server made a decision about how much it cost, etc., and then it came back to you, and that's a noticeable delay. Whereas Nancy's Java applet, there was essentially no delay in calculating how much it cost, because this is all done on the local computer. And there's inevitably, at least with today's protocols, seconds of delay when you spawn up a server, because the server has to invoke a Perl program, the Perl program has to load itself and get interpreted, and then has to read the data. Network stacks have to be wandered through. It's bound to take a significant time. As I've mentioned before, there's an enormous advantage in client-side processing. So a critical thing that JavaScript allows you to do is exactly this client-side processing, but for Netscape form. Because in order to do the pizza, as Nancy showed, you had to do an enormous amount of junk to actually get the display and get it looking reasonably good. Whereas with JavaScript, I can just use the Netscape browser, simple HTML to do that, and I can do all the arithmetic client-side. Now, you can already decide what a characteristic of this arithmetic is. It better be reasonably simple, because JavaScript is effectively basic as far as arithmetic is concerned. It's going to be very slow, because it's going to do everything in an interpreted fashion. So its performance compared to C or C++ is probably a factor of 10,000 slower on basic arithmetic, because it's got to, instead of doing a few machine instructions to add stuff together, it's actually got to interpret the characters, decide that it's an addition, and then finally do the adding. So typical interpreters run somewhere between a few hundred and tens of thousands of times slower than compiled languages. But if you look at those examples, like the pizza, it doesn't really matter. To calculate the cost of a pizza doesn't take much time anyway, and if you multiply that time by 1,000 or 10,000, it's still essentially instantaneous. So we see that JavaScript, and in fact Java, both going to be used on the client side in the case where there's relatively simple processing. It's extremely important to get quick feedback, because the user does not expect to wait a long time to decide on the price of a pizza or some other type of information from a form. I see that's a critical use of JavaScript. And Java has the advantage over JavaScript that it can run fast, because Java is a real language. Java would not run thousands of times slower, because it's effectively a compiled language. JavaScript will run much slower than JavaScript, but for example, like the pizza one, it doesn't matter. If you were building an applet if you were building a system to decide how to spend your money on the stock market, it's microclass and non-trivial computation, then there will be some advantages probably to using Java. These are just different points in a space of trade-off of functionality versus performance and generality. There's no one solution. The thing in favor of Java is that Java is almost certain to survive, because it is the general approach endorsed by everybody. JavaScript is a focused approach for the dominant browser. Netscape is still the dominant browser, well, then I think its market share is about 70%. And so, so it's pretty portable and pretty widespread, but it is not really endorsed by the community. So we've already discussed the structure of Java, and we've effectively described it for JavaScript. So with Java, we learned how you ran it through a compiler, and then it got downloaded, which converted a .java into a .class. In the case of JavaScript, typically you just write the JavaScript interpreted instructions in your HTML with a particular tag, the script tag, to tell Netscape that this is not text, but it's computer programming. Remember, HTML, you have image tags and header tags and body tags, which tell the browser what to expect. So now you have a script tag to say, well, this isn't text like you thought it was. This is just a computer program. And they even have the support for lots of scripts, so when somebody comes up with a better script, you can specify the script language in the script tag. And so the script tag specified as the script being JavaScript is how you include JavaScript. You can actually specify the JavaScript be read from a file, but that doesn't really alter the fact that what's downloaded, the JavaScript, is the computer program. It is not processed at all. The first time any processing is done on the JavaScript is by the browser. Whereas with Java, you run it through a compiler, and the virtual machine is processed by the browser. That actually leads to some problems in that the JavaScript is quite tricky to debug. Because you can get some quite obscure errors, and you only see them when they're embedded, when they're actually at the last stage, when they're downloaded and interpreted by the browser. All right, so this is my claim as to... This actually gives a little more detail on these performance issues. So C or Fortran, we can do some arithmetic with one instruction in 10 to the minus 8 seconds. That's 100 megahertz clock. So we can do a floating point instruction in we can do 10 to the 8th of them per second. And so that means if we have on the client side a C subroutine, we can do certainly many millions of instructions, because people's attention time is measured in a few milliseconds. Once you get the clock cycle of a person is basically the speed at which neurons are, which is a millisecond. So people do not notice if it takes a few milliseconds to process something. As we discussed, the pure interpreter for Java is 50 times slower than C. Just-in-time compilers are getting better and better, which is about 2 to 8 times slower than C. As we mentioned last time, native Java compilers will be the same speed as C. Perl, which we'll do later on, is a reasonably well-written interpreter. It's only 500 times slower than C, except it's actually not as bad as it sounds. When you come to use Perl, you will find that Perl, like every other language, has runtime. So the runtime is presumably written in some high-performance language, and so when Perl does I.O., Perl's I.O., which is reading from a file, calls this runtime, and it actually runs as fast as C, pretty nearly as fast as C. So if you look at Tickle or JavaScript, which are true interpreters, they're about 5,000 times slower than C. So if you decide that you can do 1 million or 5 million C instructions, nobody notices, That says you can do 1,000 JavaScript instructions and nobody will notice. That's quite a lot. You can certainly order a pizza with 1,000 and add it up with 1,000 instructions. And as we discussed, CGI scripts can, the actual execution can be very fast, but there's so much overhead of invoking programs and traversing networks that that's bound to be measured in seconds before anything useful happens. Okay. So, alright, I'll stop here because this is the last of the uninteresting slides. Alright, so one thing that we will be able to do in doing JavaScript, we will become experts on frames, forms, with our event handlers and cookies, because what JavaScript does is it builds in support for all those three advanced HTML features. So next time you will get copies of all the lectures on JavaScript, and this is your last chance to learn Java, because we're not coming back to Java. So ask your questions of the grade of Nancy or me, and that's it. We'll be using Java, but we're not going to be teaching Java anymore. So next time is a new language.